Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It looks like it's 12:10, so we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you for joining our Law Review Info Session today, and welcome. We're excited to be hosting this to tell you more about Law Review and what being a member consists of, and we're so happy you could join us. Before we get started, I just want to note that we will be taking questions at the end of this info session. Feel free to send your questions in the chat or send them to Ashley Vanderwall if you would like them to be answered privately, if you that is, if you don't want to be named. With that said, I am happy to start off this info session with Dean McGinnis, who was faculty advisor before he started his role as dean. And immediately following that, we will hear some words from Professor Sickler, who is our current faculty advisor. So I will turn it over to Dean McGinnis.
Thank you, Tatiana, and good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you here in this virtual Zoom meeting to talk about the Law Review. As Tatiana indicated, before I became the dean, I was the faculty advisor for the Law Review for many years, going back to 2012, only a couple of years after I joined the UND Law faculty. It is a tremendous opportunity for students. I really enjoyed my time as a faculty advisor, and one of the things I liked best about it was getting a chance to help students develop professionally, develop their leadership skills, their writing and research skills that they learn through Law Review. It's a great opportunity to enhance those aspects of your professional persona, the chance to be able to show employers that you have refined skills and abilities in areas that they look for with new hires, whether it's during your summer employment, clerkships, or other kinds of postgraduate employment. It's a real door opener in that regard. It's something that there's a number of alumni who participate themselves, whether in our law review or in law reviews from their law schools. So it's something that they know is a signifier of that kind of dedication, attention to detail. The work that you put into that reflects on your prospects for their success with their organizations as well. So intrinsically, though, it's also just a great way to work together on interesting research projects. You get to select a topic that's of interest to you with regard to, you'll hear more about the details of this with your note, and then initially you'll write a case comment. There's a lot of leeway that's given there to find something that's of interest to you that you care about, that you're interested in researching and writing about. So it's a great way to develop those interests that you have, things that have piqued your interest over the course of your time in law school. And it's also just a great opportunity, and I stand from the standpoint of the dean now, and but when I was faculty advisor before, I always saw it as a great opportunity to be ambassadors for the law school, because the things that you do working with the authors, if you're in the board as a third year member, or in the various activities that go on with Law Review, the symposium, other outreach efforts that we have. It's a great way to represent the law school, to network with people in the legal profession who can, even if you don't end up working for them, you may end up working with others or wanting to work with others that can give you a positive recommendation or positive impressions that you've made on them. So it's a great opportunity to do that. As I said, the other part is I'll say is that the leadership part of it is a key one. It's a chance, whatever your role is, take ownership of that and have a chance to work together as a team to accomplish some very interesting, important goals. With that, I'll just turn it over to Professor Sickler, who I'm delighted with the work that she's done this year as our faculty advisor. She's done a tremendous job working with our current board and helping the new board to get on its feet and get a great start for the coming year. So I really am thrilled with the work that she's done, and I'll turn it to her to offer a few comments as well.
Thanks, Dean McGinnis, and thanks to the new incoming board for the opportunity to speak to you a little bit about the benefits of Law Review membership. And a lot of what I have to say will echo Dean McGinnis's comments. I've just framed them a bit differently. I view the benefits of Law Review membership really as threefold, right? So first, I think it's an opportunity to strengthen some of the hard skills lawyers need to have to be practice ready or practice aware at least. And by hard skills in this context, I'm talking about those strong legal reasoning, analytical reasoning skills, effective legal writing skills, and quality citation abilities, right? We know there are many other hard skills that you're learning, but those are the ones that I view as core to the Law Review membership experience. But equally important, I think that second, Law review is an opportunity to grow what we call soft skills. And Dean McGinnis talked about a lot of these. And these are really and truly equally important for practice readiness. So soft skills include things like communicating effectively, meeting deadlines, understanding and following procedures, accepting feedback and using it to improve your work product, being comfortable with collaboration and teamwork, being a creative thinker and problem solver, and being adaptable, right? Now, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I think I already know how to do those things, there are always opportunities to grow. And you may be surprised to learn that the law review provides an opportunity for growth. And according to recent surveys of practicing attorneys, it's these soft skills where practicing attorneys actually see a lot of room for growth in entry-level lawyers in recent JDs, okay? So I think that you have a lot of opportunities to develop or flex your soft skills as a member of Law Review and then eventually as a leader or a member of the Board of Editors. And then in turn, Dean McGinnis alluded to post-employment opportunities, right? Your experiences on Law Review become concrete examples that you can use to explain to lawyers why you have these soft skills, why, right, in addition to the effective legal writing skills and other hard skills. The third benefit of Law Review membership, as I see it, and then I'll turn the floor back over to Tatiana, is that it's really an opportunity to be intellectually curious and pursue some legal issue or question independently on your own and to research and write about it. It's a kind of academic freedom. And then again, you can use this work product to demonstrate your effective legal writing skills in terms of your post-JD employment. So I'll go ahead and close just by thanking you all for the opportunity to speak today and really urge you to consider participating in the write-on competition so that you can become a member of our Law Review. So thanks so much for the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you, Dean McGinnis and Professor Sickler. We loved hearing from you. So we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to share my screen with you guys. Okay, so welcome to the North Dakota Law Review information session. What is the North Dakota Law Review? So the North Dakota Law Review is the official legal journal of the State Bar Association of North Dakota. It's a really cool opportunity that we have to be the only one here in the state. It's primarily a student-run journal, so the board of editors, who I'll introduce in a moment, are primarily the people that run the journal, pick the articles that will be published, and edit the articles, as well as work with our students to get articles published. We publish 3 issues annually, and we publish both student-written work and articles written by outside authors. Sorry. So I'm going to introduce the 2020 to 2021 Board of Editors. My name is Tatiana Hamilton. I am the incoming editor-in-chief of Law Review. Ashley Vanderwall is our managing editor. Katie Winbauer is our outside articles editor and co-symposium editor. Joseph Hackman is the student articles editor and co-symposium editor. Rachel Michelson is the research and technical editor. You will hear from all of them during this information session. We have 2 associate editors this year. Those are Kristen Clough and Elliot Stoll, as well as Professor Sickler serving as our faculty advisor through August, and then Professor Trainer will be our faculty advisor starting with the new academic year.
Okay, so I will take over from here. As Tatiana mentioned, my name is Katie Winbauer, and I am the outside articles editor and co-symposium editor. To kind of echo what Dean McGinnis and Professor Sickler have said, there are some various reasons to join Law Review. The first that we have listed is the opportunity to be published in North Dakota's only journal. So as a Law Review member, you'll have 2 opportunities to be published. What it means to be North Dakota's only journal, too, means that it isn't just the law school people who are reading the articles. It is attorneys, judges, throughout the whole state and throughout the region. So there's a lot of opportunity to have your work read as a law student. Some other things, as Professor Sickler touched on, those the hard skill set. So develop and strengthening your legal writing, analysis, and citation skills. Those not only come in handy throughout law school, but as a attorney as well. And then some of the soft skills. So becoming part of a team of students collaborating and gaining experience outside of the classroom. These are both aspects that you can talk about in job interviews or just when you want to think about the skill sets that translate into your career and into other organizations that you'll be a part of. Things like working as a team and meeting deadlines are really beneficial to have. Aside from that, networking, as Dean McGinnis mentioned, there's an opportunity to meet people and have them be a reference for you or maybe have someone be a mentor as you become an attorney. And then you can also gain skills that employers value. I think having law review on your resume, it kind of just gives you this presumption that you have good research and writing abilities. And so having that almost presumption as you go into job interviews is really nice. Another thing is that when you look at attorney biographies or attorney resumes and CVs, almost always the law review membership and publication is mentioned on those things. So again, just another notable feature. Turning to some notable past members, I'll just briefly mention Chief Justice VandeWalle, who was the Chief Justice of the North Dakota Supreme Court from 1993 to 2019, was the Editor-in-Chief from 1957 to 58. Justice McEvers, who is also on the North Dakota Supreme Court, she's been a justice since 2014. She was a member of Law Review. And then two former justices from the North Dakota Supreme Court, Justice Sandstrom, who served for 24 years, and then Justice Mehring, who served for 17 years. They were both members of Law Review. United States bankruptcy judge Sean Hastings, she's currently the bankruptcy judge for North Dakota. She was on Law Review. And then Professor Mavrova Heinrich, who some of you may have had for lawyering skills, was also on Law Review. Aubrey Zuger is the current president of the State Bar Association of North Dakota. She's also an attorney at Frederickson Byron, which is a large law firm in North Dakota. She was on Law Review, and so is Bruce Quick, who is a attorney at Vogel Law Firm, another large law firm in North Dakota. And Bruce Quick is also an adjunct professor at UND.
All right, my name is Rachel Michelson, and I'm the research and technical editor. Those are two different positions, but I hold them both. I will be talking about membership duties, the first part, and then Joseph will talk about the second part of the duties. But in general, there's going to be three main duties that are expected of Law Review members. So the first is site and source assignments, and I'll talk a little bit more in detail about what that entails. And then there's two major writing pieces, a case comment and a note, and Joseph will talk to you after I'm done about what those two writing pieces entail. So for the site and source assignments, once an article is slated for publication, the footnotes in the article are divided among all members. And so each member is going to be responsible for depending on how many members there are, they're divided equally between each member. And then each person will be responsible for citing and sourcing those footnotes. So you're going to, under the cite piece of the assignment, you're going to check assign footnotes for proper Blue Book format. So you're going to look at what the footnote says. You're going to put it in Blue Book format. That there's a kind of Blue Book training that we do at the beginning of the semester to kind of give you an intro, and we provide some more information, but it's the information that you've learned in lawyering skills, how to look up citations and put them in Blue Book format. And then the sourcing part is to ensure that the text is supported by the source. So once a statement is made, obviously a footnote is inserted with where they got that information from. So part of your responsibility is to go and check the source and read the information and make sure that what the author is saying is what the source said as well.
Okay, and then I'm Joseph Heckman. I'm the student articles editor, so I'm in charge of basically the case comment and the note, which are the two major writing assignments, as Rachel pointed out. The case comment will be the first one that typically starts over the summer and ends pretty early in fall semester. Communication's pretty much with me. You have to be anonymous from the rest of the board so that they can vote on it impartially when it comes time to decide who gets published. The case comment is essentially a recap of a recent decision. It's typically an appellate decision because trial courts don't have enough data, and it's usually an appellate decision that overruled the trial court. It's usually about 20 pages in length. It is double-spaced. The margins are really wide, so it doesn't end up being as much writing as it sounds. And then footnotes end up taking a lot of space too. You're typically going to review a case, usually the North Dakota Supreme Court, the Eighth Circuit, occasionally the United States Supreme Court. We do get into some issues with preemption and things like that. So case decision ends up being a really important part of the process there. And then we want to make sure it's relevant and helpful to North Dakota practitioners as well. Since it's published in the North Dakota Law Review, we want to make sure that North Dakota lawyers and judges are able to read these and it actually has an impact on their practice. Like it says on the slide, the final draft is typically due in September, and then the board will pick which editions will be published. There's no limitation on what gets published. It just ends up being on the quality of the work. And the structure is pretty formulaic. There's an outline and everything that goes along with it that writers can pretty much follow to a T. The note is the second and final writing assignment for members. It begins in mid-October and then works through Christmas break, ending pretty early in the spring semester. It's pretty much the exact same as the case comment, except it's a lot broader in terms of scope. So rather than the case comment where you're focusing on an individual case, the note focuses on a legal issue that affects the practice of law in some impactful way. Same process there where the board picks the note for publication anonymously. It is a little longer in terms of being a 30-page minimum instead of a 20-page minimum. It's just you're looking at a broad issue and covering that topic rather than a case. So it's essentially the same writing style, just different in terms of the depth that you're going into a topic.
Hi, guys. My name is Ashley Vanderwall, and I'm the managing editor for this coming board. So the credit breakdown as part of Law Review in your first year of membership, there's 3 credits total. You get 1 for the fall semester and then 2 for the spring. And then in your contract, it's a 2-year membership. So your second year of membership, if you write on following a 1L year, because if you write on now it's a 2L, you'll have been graduated after your first year of membership. If you're selected for the Board of Editors, that's 4 credits total. It'll be 2 in the fall. So 2 in the fall and then 2 in the spring. And then as an associate editor, it'll be 2 credits total. It'll be 1 in the fall and 1 in the spring. And then all of these credits are out of class and then graded on an SU basis. And then the write-on competition is what the students will participate in to write on for to be a part of Law Review. So it has 2 parts. It's a memo, a closed memo, so what you did in your first semester of lawyering skills, which there will be no outside research. It'll be 1 whole folder full of information that you'll use. And then there's a blue book citation exercise, so there'll be 10 citations in which you'll have to put them in proper blue book format. The problem will be released on Monday, May 11th at 8 a.m., and the deadline for submission is Friday, May 29th at 10 p.m., which is a hard deadline, and no submissions will be accepted after 10 p.m. All the information will be available via TWIN when it opens on Monday, May 11th, and then it must be submitted anonymously and requires indication that you followed the honor code. And the board will review the writing under the totality of the circumstances standard, meaning we'll look at all sorts of pieces such as your legal analysis, grammar, citation, structure, and clarity. And then it'll be anonymously graded, meaning we don't know who wrote what.
Okay, so we have some frequently asked questions that the board thought would be useful to answer as a whole to everyone that's attending today. So the first question is, are there only a certain number of spots on Law Review? The answer to that question is no, there is not. It's not anything like we only offer spots to the top 10 students. you are judged only against yourself in the law review write-on process. So we encourage all candidates to put in their best possible effort when you're completing the write-on exercise. The second, is there a GPA requirement or a separate grade-on process for law review? We have neither. The North Dakota Law Review solely utilizes the write-on process to decide membership. You can participate in the write-on regardless of your GPA or class rank. We encourage all of you to participate in the write-on competition, and please do not self-eliminate based on your GPA or class rank or any of your grades thus far. So can I be off campus for a semester and be a member? Yes, you can. This question often comes up in the context of people who are interested in doing the legislative externship next year in Bismarck. So you are eligible to be a member if you're going to be off campus for a semester, such as for that externship in Bismarck. And if you are going to be a 2L and you are a member, even if you're away for that spring semester or fall semester, whatever it may be, you can still be eligible to run for a board of editors position for your third year of law school. So how much work should I expect as a member of the North Dakota Law Review? So you are expected to make a meaningful contribution to the journal. There will be times in the semester that it's busier than other times. It'll kind of vary depending on what kind of articles we're publishing, how long they are, when your case comment is due, when your note is due, all of that. But when you consider that you write two major pieces and then you do those cite and source assignments, you will be spending a manageable amount of time on law review. And another thing to keep in mind is that it's all manageable, and the student articles editor will work closely with members of law review to ensure that everything is getting done and completed in a timely manner. When will I hear back on whether I made the North Dakota Law Review? So the Board of Editors will meet, and we anticipate that decisions will be made in late June about membership, and everyone who participated will receive an email from me to notify you of the membership decision. Finally, what do I have to do to become a board member? So a member who completes all required responsibilities will be eligible to apply for a position on the Board of Editors. The current board will decide the next board following an application and interview process. Any member who is not on the Board of Editors in their third year will be an associate editor. As Ashley mentioned, you do sign a contract to stay on for 2 years. A student who joins the North Dakota Law Review in their third year, so if you are currently a 2L, you will only be able to achieve the role of member since you're graduating. We do have these questions and more questions on our website, the North Dakota Law Review website, under Frequently Asked Questions under the Prospective Member section. So go ahead and read those. I'm going to send out this PowerPoint later today, so you can click on that link there. And that takes us to, I'll open it up to questions if anyone has any. If you have any write-on or membership questions, feel free to direct them to me or Joseph Hackman, or really any editor that you know via email. We are all here to help you guys, and we hope that you will participate in write-on. So does anyone have any questions?
I do. To make the board of the Law Review 3L year, you have to do write-on. Is that, am I understanding that right?
Yes. So you would have to be a member before you would be able to apply for the Board of Editors. So if you're not a member, you would be ineligible to apply for a Board of Editors position. And the only way that you become a member is by doing the write-on competition.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, you're welcome.
Quickly, unless anybody has a question, I just want to mention too, a perk of membership is that you can be published. So if you are a student but you're not a member of Law Review, we wouldn't accept an outside article submission. So in case anybody would have a question about that, you do have to be a member to be published in the Law Review as a student.
Thanks, Katie. And I just received a question on if it's mandatory to receive credits for Law Review membership. The answer to that question is yes. If you have special circumstances, we can discuss them, but generally you will be required to do the to the 3 credits during your 2 all year or 3rd year, depending on when you write on, and then receive all the credits if you are an associate editor or board of editors. So I would plan on all those credits as they are listed. Do we have any other questions at all? Okay, well, thank you all for joining the info session today. I hope that we could answer some of the questions and provide you with information about the write-on competition and what it entails. I will be sending out this PowerPoint shortly here so you can review it. If you have any questions at that time, just feel free to reach out to me or any Board of Editors members that you know. We're here to help and here to talk, and we can't wait to review your guys' submissions for write-on. Thank you.
Oh, one more question. When does the come open on the materials?
Monday, May 11th at 8 a.m. They'll be available on Twine.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, everyone. Congratulations to the board.
Thanks, Ian McGinnis.